I was asked to address this topic, interrelationships between forage nutrient value and quantity and affecting animal performance. I thank the organizers for the opportunity, and I also would like to thank Eric for his contributions to the presentation. This is the approach I'll use, give you a sense of the focus for the talk, identify some of the key questions, use the literature to address those questions, and then a few conclusions at the end. Just so we're clear on where we're headed, I'm going to stay in the pasture for this talk. I think there are a lot of other folks that are venturing other places, so I'm going to stick in the pasture. And I'm going to relate this to forage diets. There'll be one slight deviation from that, but essentially we're talking about forage diets. We've dealt with this issue of definitions, but just to reiterate, I'm going to use the Mott and Moore forage nutrient value definition. That's a term in the title, so we need to make sure we know what we're talking about there in terms of chemical composition, digestibility, and nature of digestive products. Examples, crude protein, in vitro digestibility, NDF, but not measures of forage quality. If those aren't quality, then what is? Again, we go back to product per animal, and in this case, generally in this talk, I'm going to be talking about average daily gain. They put some assumptions that they tag along with that, and David Mertens had already addressed these, so I won't go into that in more detail. Relative to quantity, there are a couple of terms that, again, I will address throughout the talk. Forage mass, total weight of forage per unit land area, and forage allowance, which is a relationship between mass and the mass of animal live weight that is on the pasture. All right, so we're in the pasture. Those are the definitions of the terms that we're going to talk about. Let's identify a few key questions. There are four of these that I've chosen to address. Hopefully you'll agree that they're important. One, are the responses of forage nutrient value and forage quantity to grazing intensity similar? Two, how does animal performance respond to changes in forage quantity and nutrient value? Three, are there special cases? And four, have the specific roles of forage nutrient value and quantity in terms of their effect on animal performance been defined, and are there interactions? So let's head to the literature and see what we can find. I'm going to remind you of the questions as we go along and then attempt to answer them. Question one, again, are the responses of nutrient value and quantity to grazing intensity similar? And with grazing intensity, again, I'm talking in this case about stocking rate or sward canopy height. You may ask, why intensity? Why am I focusing there? And choice of grazing intensity within the pasture context is widely considered to be the most important grazing management decision. So I think it's helpful from the start to have an understanding about how the most important management choice affects the two variables that we're interested in, quantity and nutrient value. In a look at the literature in a fairly comprehensive way, 93% of the studies surveyed with an N equal 30 where grazing intensity was a treatment. Increasing grazing intensity decreased forage mass. Not too much of a surprise there. About 90% decreased forage allowance. Only N equal 9 because not too many people measure it or report it. But, on the other hand, and in contrast, increasing grazing intensity is typically associated with increasing forage nutrient value. About two-thirds of the study show that of the study cited N equal 40 show that response. If we look at an individual study to kind of highlight a couple of these issues, this was a study with Stargrass, Hernandez-Garay 2004, looking at a range of stocking rates from 2.5 to 7.5, and then looking at measures of nutrient value. Protein and in vitro digestion increased linearly with increasing stocking rate. Fits with what we just talked about. Neutral detergent fiber, on the other hand, decreases with increasing stocking rate. If we look at the other side of the equation, that being the quantity issue, again, as you increase stocking rate, in this case, forage mass declines linearly. Forage allowance declines with both linear and quadratic terms in the model. So, just to summarize then, the first question, Are the responses similar? Well, based on a large sampling of the literature, we can say, I think fairly conclusively, that they are not. Increasing grazing intensity decreases quantity, but increases nutritive value. So let's move on to question two. How does animal performance respond to changes in forage quantity and nutritive value? I'm going to divide this into the two sections, first looking at quantity. These are some data with palisade grass, which is probably one that most of you are not familiar with. It's a C4 grass in the Brachiaria genus, Braga et al., looking at a treatment of forage allowance over a range, with a wide range of forage allowances. Fairly typical kind of response function that we come to expect with regressing average daily gain on some measure of forage quality, in this case herbage allowance. At low levels of allowance, average daily gain is very responsive. As we get to higher levels of forage allowance, we tend to get to a threshold point in the curve. We talked about this study briefly just a minute ago. It was done again with a C4 grass in the cynodin genus, that being star grass, across a range of stocking rates. Again, we're looking at the response of average daily gain to herbage allowance. Typically, again, at low rates of allowance, we have high responsiveness of gain. As we get to higher levels of allowance, these curves tend to level off. In what I consider to be kind of a classical study, and Monty, where are we going to dinner tonight?
Wherever you want.
Okay. All right. Just want to get that clear. Monty and Mr. McCarter here studied pearl millet, looking at a range of stocking rates, and again, regressing average daily gain on forage allowance, average daily gain and nonlinear function of allowance, with a convergence point there of about 3.3. So it gives a bit of a sense of the response to quantity. Let's look at nutritive value. Again, picking up on that same study. In that particular experiment, then, they indicated that IVOMD explains 74% of the variation in ADG, but with a qualifier. And the qualifier was if data from heavily stocked paddocks were not used. So they cut off the high stocking rate end of that function. And just looked at areas where ad libitum intake was possible. Another comparable result is found from a study by Dubel in the early 70s with five C4 grasses. In that case, 56% of the variation explained by IVDMD. And again, they had this proviso: when forage available was not a limiting factor. Contrast that to the conclusions of Hernandez-Garay, who looked at the relationship across the full range of stocking rates and found no relationship between nutritive value and animal performance. So to address question two then, how does ADG respond to changes in forage quantity and nutritive value? Let's hit quantity first. Across a wide range in forage mass or allowance, I think we can safely say that a high proportion of the variation in gain is described by quantity, but there may be no relationship between ADG and quantity if only high levels of mass or allowance are considered. Shifting over to look at nutritive value can explain, in the cases we looked at, it was in vitro digestion, more than half of the variation in gain, but only when quantity is not limiting. And across a wide range in quantity, there may be absolutely no relationship between nutritive value and ADG. Those are the predictable responses. Those are ones we would expect to see based on our understanding of the literature. So then the question is, are there some special cases? And if there weren't any, I probably wouldn't pose the question. So yeah, I'm going to look at a couple. One, we're going to look at one relative to sward canopy characteristics, and another looking at associative effects. Newman et al. Did a study, again with a C4 grass, limpo grass, where pastures were grazed to three different heights using continuous stocking. Using the data only from the 20 and the 40 centimeter treatments, she found a linear relationship between average daily gain and herbage mass and herbage allowance. Those are the curves at the bottom that we just looked at. Now, at the two at the top, simply add the 60 centimeter treatment to the mix, and things suddenly kind of go wrong in terms of what we expect. We expect more of that red dashed line to be what we see, with basically a plateau in the response. And so the question is, what the heck's going on? Well, those authors did a bit of canopy characterization, and they found that in the 60 centimeter canopies, the protein and digestibility were lower. The percentage of that crude protein, it was fraction C, was quite a bit higher, and leaf bulk density was very low. So there's some canopy quirks and aspects that can confound our conventional wisdom and kind of twist things around a little bit. I mentioned we also want to look at associative effects, because again, that can play with the relationship between nutritive value and animal performance. In a study by Fike and others, he looked at pasture-based systems for lactating cows. Grazed forages were a legume, rhizoma peanut, and a C4 grass. Supplement levels, 0.33 and 0.5 kilograms of supplement per kilogram of milk per day. Looking first at the differences in nutritive value among the forages, you can see, as we might expect, legume much higher in vitro digestion, much lower in NDF, and much higher in crude protein. Looking then at the response of the cows in terms of kilograms of milk produced per cow per day, and these are late lactation animals, to supplement rates. At the low supplement rate, we have in excess of a 2 kilogram per day advantage associated with the higher nutritive value forage. However, at the high concentrate rate, that gap narrows considerably. And although the difference is still significant, it's pushing our stats a little bit to find that difference. So what's going on? Well, if we look at substitution rates, we can see that for the peanut, for each additional kilogram of grain that those animals are eating, they're reducing their forage intake by about 0.5 kilogram. In the case of Bermuda grass, it's less than 0.1 kilogram. So clearly, much greater negative associative effects associated with the higher quality forage. Looking at efficiency of conversion of, or efficiency of milk production per kilogram of gain, and you see the advantages associated with the Bermuda grass. So, are there special cases that kind of mess up those general trends that we'd expect? Absolutely. Some of them can be associated with characteristics of specific canopies. Others can be associated with the associative effects. And those effects tend to be much more pronounced with higher quality forages. And so we do not get perhaps the expected bang for the buck in some of these mixed rations. All right, question four, and the last one that I'd like to discuss with you, is have the specific roles of forage nutritive value and quantity in influencing animal performance been defined, and are there interactions? Now, if we go back to the Stargrass data, just as a starting point for the conversation, we look at the three stocking rates here and look at a measure of quantity, a measure of nutritive value, and then animal performance. As stocking rate increases, our measure of quantity decreases, our measure of nutritive value increases, and clearly our animal performance decreases. So the logical conclusion from this data set is that quantity drives animal performance and nutritive value isn't worth thinking about, right? So let's not stop there. Because I would hate to face the question period having said that. So let's go on and look at a couple of studies where they attempted to dissect the interaction a little bit. All right, this is work done by Guerrero, published in 84, where he looked at five Bermuda grass cultivars, continuously stocked, four stocking rates per cultivar. I have no clue how he funded that trial, but I'd like to know. For each 28-day period of grazing in each of 3 years, forages were sorted based on IVOMD class. And those IVOMD classes are listed here. Greater than 600, or David, I'll translate for you, that would be greater than 60%. From 53 to 60% and less than 53% grams per kilogram. And then within each of those classes, average daily gain was regressed on forage allowance. So we end up with something like this, and this is my adaptation of the Guerrero data. Got average daily gain regressed on forage allowance, and then these three IVOMD or IVDMD classes. And as you can see, clearly there's something going on with forage nutritive value in terms of the magnitude of the response that can be achieved. These authors used a criteria for an asymptote of being the delta ADG less than 0.005 kilograms. And they identified the forage allowances. That would be, these are the XY coordinates, so it would be the first number. The forage allowance, where that asymptote occurs. So clearly what you can see is that the higher digestibility resulted in a higher ceiling average daily gain. And the other thing it did was it resulted in a lower forage allowance at which that breakpoint occurred. Very similar kind of study done by Dubel in 71, looked again at, in this case it was five different grass species, again sorted these into digestibility classes, similar kinds of groupings as before, and fairly similar kinds of results. Instead of using some type of principle for identifying the asymptote, they simply said, okay, here's where the curve appears to go flat. And so they said the about 750 kilograms per hectare herbage mass for the high digestibility, somewhere around 1,000 for the intermediate, somewhere around 1,500 for the low. So conclusions from these individual studies would suggest the nutritive value sets the upper limit on ADG and the breakpoint of the response, and forage mass determines the proportion of the upper limit that can be achieved. Now, we wanted to take a little bit of a broader look, and I give credit to Eric for doing this work. He conducted a meta-analysis to look at a broad range of grazing intensity studies to try to sort this out in a bit more detail. So he looked at 26 independent sources, referee journal articles, where we had sufficient data to calculate everything that we needed relative to these responses. That resulted in 58 individual observations, which are species by year combinations. Two-step process, basically. Step one was to regress for each individual study the y-intercept, or to determine the y-intercept of ADG, and then the slope of the regression of ADG versus stocking rate. So we wanted two factors. We wanted the intercept and then the slope. And then across studies, as a second step, use a multiple regression approach to identify the factors that affect the slope of the ADG response to stocking rate. The variable that had the greatest explanatory power in this analysis was the y-intercept of ADG. So in other words, ADG at a theoretical zero stocking rate, but a very low stocking rate nonetheless, all right? Some other variables came into the mix, and that one, and I should go back. So about 56% of the variation in the slope of the ADG versus stocking rate response was explained by kind of where we all started there. The composition of the forage, whether grass or legume, had some significant role to play, but minor relative to the y-intercept of ADG. And even the location, the latitude. For sake of time, I'm not giving you all the variables that he looked at, but it was pretty extensive. So the conclusions from the meta-analysis are the variable with the greatest impact on the slope of the response is the ADG y-intercept. So the greater the ADG y-intercept, the more negative the slope. And if we want to think about it in other terms, the rate of the decline in ADG as stocking rate increases is greater for high nutritive value forages. He went on to explain that this is likely an intake-mediated effect. Greater ADG is associated with greater intake, and so for higher ADG forages, each unit increase in stocking rate, because those animals are eating more, has a greater negative impact on forage mass, which then has a greater impact on subsequent intake and ADG. And if we just pull back the Dubal data and look at, and I drew in these dashed lines just to connect the point where the curve goes flat to the beginning of the data set. And if you look at the slopes, basically these data illustrate what Eric concluded, is that those slopes become greater, more negative. Well, in this case, we're looking at a response to herbage mass instead of stocking rate, but I think you can get the picture. So the conclusions relative to the question four, clearly the relationships are complex, and I've oversimplified it, but that's just the way it is for now. Declining ADG as stocking rate increases is clearly a quantity-driven response and occurs regardless of the nutritive value of the forage. The magnitude of the ADG response, the rate of decline in ADG, and the forage mass at which the decline begins appear to be nutritive value driven. So just a few conclusions then. Again, going back to those questions that we ask, forage nutritive value and quantity generally respond in opposite directions to grazing intensity, which sets up some interesting dynamics. And just as a review, we saw increase in grazing intensity decreases forage mass while it increases nutritive value. Across a wide range in grazing intensity, forage quantity explains a large percentage of the change in animal response. We got R squares of 85 to 92%. But not at high levels of forage mass or allowance, where things get pretty messy. Measures of nutritive value generally explain a significant portion of the variation in ADG when forage mass allows ad libitum intake, and I might add across a narrow range of genetic material, but we didn't really deal with that today. But across a wide range of forage mass that includes very low levels of mass, there may be no detectable relationship at all. Simply stated, quantity and nutritive value interact in their effect on ADG. The impact of one depends upon the level of the other. The meta-analysis that we conducted suggests that the nutritive value, or the I'm using ADG y-axis intercept as a proxy for that, affects the slope of the ADG response to stocking rate, and so that slope is greater and increases as the nutritive value of the forage increases, whereas forage quantity drives the direction of the response. Well, there remains at least one controversy in the forage world, and I'll end with that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, man.